Welcome to Manor Tools. This week, part two, how to escalate. Here we go. This cast answers these questions. What are the effective ways to escalate a problem? What are the misconceptions about escalation? And oh boy, are there a lot. And how can I escalate to get results? If you want answers to these questions and more, as Mike normally says, keep listening. Folks, I know we've mentioned it a couple times recently, but just in case you missed it, we moved our IMM conference back from March this year, 2021, in Chicago, to October in Chicago. As you might imagine, we've been doing our best to make it happen, and unfortunately, the powers that be and COVID and vaccination levels and so on have prohibited us from making it go forward in March. Between now and then, we will continue to have our monthly speaker series. They're always outstanding. And as soon as you sign up for the IMM conference, you are invited to attend all those leading up to it. And really, the IMM conference is about those of you who are managers who are thinking about becoming executives one day and start to want to make the transition. I hope to see you at our IMM conference in Chicago in October. This cast is a continuation of last week's cast, which was part one, obviously. We've already covered part one, which is of the outline, which is escalation is about effectiveness, not about the org chart. I promise you what you think escalation is a slim sliver of it. We are now into the idea of escalating with time, and then we're going to get to escalating with communication, and then we will talk briefly about escalating with role power, but as the guidance, as we like to say, only if you must. Okay. I'm joined by my colleague, Kate Horstman. And Kate, why don't you pick us up where we left off? We've made the case, I think, that we're trying to distinguish between those folks that that we're aiming this at average managers rather than normal managers, even senior managers and directors and so on, but probably not somebody who's running a billion-dollar program management office.
For PMP, the PMPs out there, we are really focused on escalation in terms of communication. We're talking about how to do this in terms of a project that you're working on that is who does what by when, right? If you can think of who does what by when rather than Gantt charts and PERT charts and all that stuff. Most of us don't need Gantt charts or PERT charts or any of that. Most people, the average manager will say, experiences project management, and the escalation guidance there is too technical. It's too much about reporting and software and resource tracking and things of that nature.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's not about getting work done, right? It's about the tracking and the finite stuff, the tiny gritty details that are in there that we're not looking at here. So right. And we're all involved in projects, but either we create our own task list or we are the project manager. Although I don't know that everybody would call what we're working on projects, right? I don't know that.
Yeah, that's a funny one. I would agree. I always think of anything that's more than four or five tasks is a project. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, the project management world has sort of hoovered up that word. And no, that's not a project. That's just a string of tasks. Well, let me tell you, you say potato, I say potato. I mean, I'm sorry. Feels like a project to me. I got to do this. And then once that's done, I got to do this. And I can only do step three after I've done step one and two. Yeah, I don't know. Feels like a project to me.
Yeah. And then you start saying dependency and people get all spun up, right?
Yeah.
Maybe though, you're part of a larger project team where someone else is using all those fancy tools and updating the charts and the resource planning software and tools that you're using. The thing is, escalation works for everybody. The way we're characterizing it works for everybody. Yeah. You don't have to be on a critical path. You can be using something simple, like I use my notebook to track the tasks that we're doing, even within what I would call a project, and what some people wouldn't. So
right, yeah. And look, here's an issue. Project planning, even just work planning, a series of tasks that are strung together loosely. Planning is inherently unreliable. Mm-hmm. It's not that work planning or the idea of projects are a bad idea. They're necessary. It's a fundamental part of the human condition is I have to do this and then I have to do that. In fact, there's some software called If This Then That, right? Which is an piece of automation software, which I'm probably going to get notes from the if then if this then that folks saying you completely undersold us. But that's how I think of it as a user. The problem with project planning is falling in love with the idea of the project, mm-hmm. and no good plan survives first contact with the enemy. And the enemy is time and money and sloth and lack of knowledge and lack of communication and lack of tools. And I'm really tired today, right?
Yeah, if you have 20 or 30 tasks in what you think of as the project, but your organization doesn't have this huge horde of project management people involved, even if you control everything about it, the timing of your tasks, 8 to 12.
Your tasks.
Yeah.
You totally control.
That you're the boss of 8 to 12 weeks from now in the future.
Total pipe dream.
Crazy not talk.
Even, right. Crazy.
Not going to happen.
Sure. Yeah. You see that. Say, hey, I really appreciate that you've done it. And it reminds me of Eisenhower saying, planning is everything. Plans are nothing.
Yeah.
I'm glad you did that. I'm glad you're thinking ahead. And privately, I'm thinking to myself, never going to happen.
Never going to happen.
I mean, it may happen, but it may happen week 4, or it may happen in week 31, or it might be completely obliterated by some boss bigfooting you.
Yeah.
Now, look, we don't mean that disrespectfully to your planning skills, guys, although we ought to pay attention to the planning fallacy. Okay. If you don't know what planning fallacy is, just Google it. Go to Wikipedia page. Promise you'll like it. But look, just review your own historical record of project planning. The fact is, most of us are not very good at planning out our work. The planning fallacy says you think for stuff you do, it will take half as long as it actually does.
Yeah.
We underestimate how long things will take us. And priorities shift along the way. Everybody's got a plan until they get hit. Well, I don't know about you, but in the year that shall not be named or given a number, we got hit a few times.
Yeah, we did.
We ain't doing that.
Call those unplanned
in issues. April, yes. In April, somebody said, hey, where are we on this? I said, we're not anywhere on that. And they said, why not? We had talked about this. Yeah, no, we're not. We're busy fighting for our life here, and we're creating brand new products out of, we're virtualizing everything. And
right.
I don't have time to do that. Like general ledger review.
Someone asking if you're going to run a marathon, but you're missing the bottom half of your leg.
Yeah. You can't do it. Yeah, exactly.
See this piece I'm missing?
I can't do
it. It's a deal. Yeah. So then the question is, how do we avoid the perils of escalation while still using it effectively?
Yeah. Well, I think if you understand what escalation is and you don't make it about pain or punishment or role power, it's so look, you can do it. And the better your relationships, the more trust you have with other people, the easier it's going to be. And you don't have to say to somebody, I'm escalating with you. How are you feeling about your deliverable? Don't do that because they'll think you're about to pull rank, right? Mm-hmm. Rather, you just take some of these actions and you will be escalating and you will be reducing the chances that you have a political catfight on your hand. And the first one you do is you escalate with time.
Right. Most of the definitions out there of escalation, which are wrong,
yeah,
wrong, address situations of risk near or after the deadline miss, which too
totally
late.
Agree.
Too yeah. late. And this is a basic error, and we seem to do it over and all over and over again.
All of the drama about projects happens around deadlines.
Yeah.
And we need to stretch that out. We need to pull the drama, the height of drama, that little spike in people's heart rates, and we need to move that forward into the present, not further behind the deadline.
Right.
And by the way, we haven't even talked about this yet. In fact, I didn't even address it when I wrote the show notes about how deadly tasks that miss their deadline are to projects, because the moment you miss a deadline and there's that spike in the drama and it doesn't get resolved and nobody sets a new deadline, nobody readjusts resources and so on, that task might as well never have existed. It's not going to get done. It just, for some reason, the moment tasks pass their deadline, even if there was a role power escalation, they cease to exist.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm not going to get any more trouble. That's getting later every day. Nobody keeps asking me about it. So therefore, I'm good. I could just do other work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So escalation is not about moving deadlines back. Although that can happen. Totally reasonable that could happen in some cases. Escalation is about assessing risk and considering whether or not there's stuff that can be done earlier, not because earlier is necessarily better in terms of the work being done, but it is in terms of the overall ability of the team who's working on it to accomplish future work.
Mm-hmm. We're moving our intervention, if you will, to the left. We're moving it forward or backwards in the timeline, if you will, so that we can abate the risk before the deadline. And that's where time escalation can make a big difference for us. And the first escalation with time that you could start practicing immediately is learn to assign tasks that include both work and reporting. You've heard this before. You've heard us.
One of my very favorite
topics. Say this in our, we said this, 2010 Hall of Fame cast, assign work and reporting deliverables.
Yeah.
Y'all, if you want to change your life, pretend that your New Year's resolution is deliverables, begin today. All projects are measured against time, right? I mean, we're measuring against resources, time being one of our most crucial. And time is routinely all just messily and just abundantly wasted when work is done but not reported as being done. There's a lag in productivity happening between when the work is done and available for use and when you start to use it. And if the reason there's a lag there is because you've decided there's one, that's one thing. But if you don't know, it's sitting there withering and you have no ability.
I got to tell you, I spent 2, 3, 4 years of my life in this misery of having deadlines, having my people, having deadlines, and not knowing this. Guys, if you think that the Army taught me this, if West Point taught me this, if Procter & Gamble taught me this, none of those folks. I learned this the hard way by going out and paying attention to managers in the field. And I spent years, it might have been even 10 years, thinking that when I didn't get the work, that I should go and check on the work. And there were two bad things that would happen. There's one good. One is, I already did it. Like, okay, but why wouldn't you tell me that?
Yeah.
That's not what the task was. The task was to just write the code. Okay. Okay, that's one thing that's bad. Now they might be thinking, you know, I'm an island. I'm not on a continent. I'm not a piece of the whole. I'm not a part of the main. Right? John Donne said, never sin to know for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. Well, he was right. And these individual contributors who think they can just do their work and not tell anybody when it's done are wrong.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
Each person is a part of the continent, a piece of the main. If a clod is washed away from Europe, Europe is the less for it. If a promontory falls into the ocean, the mainland is a lesson for it. And it is astounding to me. It was astounding when I finally discovered, no, I'm not doing that anymore. You, there's no work to be done here. The only thing we have is deliverables. If you want a work boss, you go down the street because there ain't no work. We ain't doing work here. We're doing deliverables. We're not doing tasks. We're doing deliverables.
Yeah.
And the other thing, by the way, that was bad when people would say this, I would say, okay, where's my stuff? Which, by the way, I taught like the chairman and CEO of one of the greatest banks, this Jamie Dimon. I taught him, dude, where's my stuff? Like, you owe me stuff. Where is it? And when I read that a couple of years ago in Fortune magazine, I laughed, sent him a note. So I would say, okay, where's my stuff? Oh, I'm not done with that. But you know the deadlines now, or what, a couple hours ago. Yeah. So wait a minute. You knew you had a deadline 3 days ago. You didn't do the work. You knew it the day before and the day of and the morning of and the early afternoon of. And you knew the deadline passed and you probably, I'm guessing you're a good guy, you're smart, you're ethical. You felt guilty, but you didn't communicate about it. Yeah, no, sorry. Mm-hmm. So you didn't care that anybody else didn't know and that they're sitting around waiting. They're literally sitting waiting, looking for an email from you. They only do email 3 times a day, but now they're checking it every 5 minutes because they assume you're a good guy, you're smart. Why would you not say something? I don't want to be in trouble. Oh, guess what? Too late. Sorry.
I am here.
Yes. Yeah. So, all right, keep going. I'm sorry. I just wanted to tell the origins of that phrase.
Well, and, you know, it's crazy that this is still happening, and it happens so frequently without mentioning it, we would be remiss.
Yeah.
So, a way to fix this. Assign your work, not just with the task, but with reporting, which we'll call deliverables. Right. So, we're turning tasks into deliverables. Instead of assigning a task of implement the website code to allow this marketing violator to work by Tuesday at 2 p.m. local.
Which, by the way, is a pretty good task.
Yeah, super good compared to some of the tasks I've seen.
Yeah, yeah.
Assign a deliverable, which is report to me that the website code to allow this marketing violator by Tuesday at 2 p.m. is
local.
Local, yeah. Is done.
Yeah.
Okay. So this way, the moment the work is complete, other work that relies on this work, and by the way, this reliance is at the absolute heart and soul of project status and completion.
Exactly.
This work that relies on the work that's just been done can be commenced because, hey, the task that it was waiting on is known to be
done. Not done, but known to be done.
Exactly.
It's literally a difference in state in terms of the efficiency and effectiveness of the organization.
It's the reason the oven tells you it's preheated.
Yes, it beeps, right?
It beeps
you don't
at
have
you.
To keep go checking.
Right.
It's exactly right. We should call this the preheat, Kev.
You're right. Yes. And we can even go further.
By the way, I want to go back. Before you get in the next paragraph. By the way, for those of you who don't know, I just said paragraph. Kate and I both have 20 pages worth of show notes to get through in this cast. And if you're not a licensee, you may not know that. But if you became a licensee, it does cost $200 a month. That sounds crazy. For $200 a year, you get access to written versions of all these shows. Now, it's not the words we say on air. That we try to make interesting. We try to make it sound conversational. Mike and I have been doing it for years. Kate and I have done it several times. But we have show notes that read like a white paper that explain every single concept in this task. And I know because I write them. Mm-hmm. And if it sounds like I know what I'm talking about, it's because I spent hours and hours and hours writing the show notes. I don't know why anybody would want to listen to my voice. No, and Kate, no offense, your voice either, when they could read it. Now, I get it. You're commuting. That's fine. I totally understand that. You want to listen to me while you're running. I don't get that, Eldon Schaefer, but whatever. Or while you're mowing your lawn. Okay, great. Or you're snow blowing. Okay, great. I get that. But for the vast majority, particularly if you're trying to recall an old cast, being a licensee and have the access to be able to say, I'm not going to listen to that cast and try to find where Kate said X. I'm just going to skim through the show notes until I find the spot. And then I'm going to take a picture of it and text it to one of my directs so he or she knows what to do.
My biggest thing about it is multi-part casts. The email compendium cast is, what, 7 parts?
Seven.
And if you are listening, you have to wait.
Yeah, every week.
7 weeks.
Yeah. And this is a multi-part cast that we're doing, and I try not to do them, but the idea that you could.
No, there's,
you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. Sorry, guys. You know, let me just sum up, and then you don't know what you're supposed to do.
Parthenon on podcast.
The point that I was going to make is that it says report to me. That is the action that the person does. So when you're direct, if in this case, if it were Kate and she worked for me, which she does, if I assigned this to her and I went to her and said, dude, it's 2:00. Where's my stuff? And she says, oh, I put it up. I said, dude, that's not the deliverable. The deliverable was report to me that it's done. And she goes, oh, sorry. I said, hey, can I give you some feedback? When you don't report to me, all you did was a task. And we don't pay for tasks. We only pay for deliverables. Can you do that better next time? Thank you.
Certainly.
Folks, we have an announcement to make about our effective manager training for clients. We now have a 3-session effective manager training for clients rather than 4 like the public conference. We've always done client training and left out coaching because our coaching model doesn't get rolled out in the rolling out the Trinity portion until 8 months later. But we've ended up having 4 sessions in the interest of time for some clients. Now we've figured out a way to get the client sessions done in 3 sessions. So if you're interested in having your managers trained, over the course of 2.5-hour sessions, give us a call or email maggie@manager-tools.com and we'll do our best. I will say we're very busy this quarter. A lot of companies have realized, distant directs mean managers are struggling, but we'll do our best to help. All right. Sorry. Continue. I jumped ahead of you.
You're going to like this next part, though. Yeah. Rather than assigning a deliverable with a deadline of Tuesday at 2, you can go one step further and you can encourage urgency. Hey, secret form of escalation.
That's right. Urgency is escalation. That's the whole point. Why do we get bosses involved after a deadline has passed or when it's closed? To create urgency where there appears not to be some.
Yes. And we've talked about this before, right? The RCAST about creating a sense of urgency in your team is you are kind of reverse engineering what happens at the end of a project where, you know, suddenly we have all this stuff to do. We have a noon deadline, a 2 o'clock deadline, a 4 o'clock deadline, a 5 o'clock deadline. You can reverse engineer that scenario to create the urgency. And we're doing it again here. That's what we're doing. We're increasing communication around tasking such that we feel more urgency. And that's what escalation's about.
Yeah.
And you can do it kind of preemptively by assigning deliverables that do this. So, for example, report to me that the website code to allow this marketing violator is completed as soon as possible, but not later than Tuesday at 2 p.m. So now you've actually increased the urgency there. So the minute it's done, because listen, I don't have to wait until Tuesday at 2. What if I want to do it today? Today's Wednesday, but
don't see your life. If you're one of the task accomplishers on this project, don't see your life as just a series of ticks on the project timeline of that deadline. Say, okay, I've got this to do. When can I do it? Could I do it earlier or later? Yes, it's fine if you get it to us by the deadline.
Yes.
But don't just fritter away the time and think all I have to, if you're thinking all I have to do is meet the deadline, you're not thinking like a professional.
Right. We're trying to communicate with this type of deliverable that speed is an advantage. An earlier completion speed up the project. Now, listen, if it can't help, like if I can't get to it until Friday, then I don't necessarily need to include the as soon as possible in all of my deliverables. And many cases, super helpful.
Yeah.
We're creating that urgency. We're moving things. You know, I always think of this. I have a number of sisters and a lot of them plan weddings. And, you know, we always talk about like, okay, you need to do these 10 things because there's always this list, right? And these websites create these lists. Okay. And one of the first things is choose a color scheme. And I remember distinctly having this conversation with one of my sisters where I said, you know, you should really choose a color scheme if you're going to have one. She said, no, that can wait. And I thought, if you don't do it now, it's not going to get done. You got to get as much of this stuff done at the beginning as you can.
Move it way forward.
Because all the stuff you think is going to happen plus 50% more is going to come up.
My recommendation, since I would probably be paying, would be blush and bashful.
Obviously. But hey,
that's just me. It looked like somebody threw up Pepto-Bismol all over the church.
Side note, you don't need a color scheme. So
yeah, I know, you don't.
What we would say to the developer, and okay, no offense, developers, you have lots to do. Yeah,
plenty to do, dude. And we're not suggesting that you just literally, I have 3 days off until I have a half an hour worth of work before the next deliverable. We're not saying that. But in the box of stuff, of tasks, and so on, I want you to understand that sooner is generally better. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe people who say, all I can do is focus on deadlines. I mean, if you don't know it, I've heard it, I've said it here over the years 100 times, surely, that 30% of all work in all organizations is waste. Just waste. And I want to be clear to you guys, I'm not pointing a finger at you. That's true for me too. Okay? So we want to proactively get rid of our own waste as much as we can. And one way to do that is to look at all the things we have to do, look what everything's due. And seriously, I know you want to do that thing where you do the special thing that you love, but that's not due for 2 weeks.
Right.
On the other hand, if all you have to do is write this violator code by Tuesday at 2, why do it on Friday? Well, I'll tell you why. Your colleagues would say, like, if I knew it was done on Friday, I could actually steal some time Monday morning to do the next thing. And now we're 2 days ahead.
Absolutely.
What's wrong with that?
We're not saying if you're justifying, hey, I'm working on this other thing, that you couldn't justify it. I think you could.
Totally, you could.
You could say, hey, I know it's due on this date. I don't have any indication that faster would be better. if you didn't do a good job right. assigning her a deliverable.
Right.
And also, if you've done it before, you know it's only going to take me this long.
Right.
You know, it's not at risk. And you know. And see, I think the fact that there is that lag between when things get done and when we know they're done has caused people to believe that that's okay.
Right.
Right? Absolutely. It's complacent true. In this idea that, okay, stuff gets done all the time, but it doesn't get used right away. So it's really not that urgent. And so right. deadlines start to feel almost disingenuous. That's not the right word, but they feel, you know, they feel as if it's just like it's just made up, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Well, some of that, to be fair, particularly to the folks in the IT world, mm-hmm. To be fair, there's an awful lot of buffering, an awful lot of padding in there, mm-hmm. which frustrates me. I think we ought to do our level best to not, oh, it's going to take him a week, so I'll schedule it to be done a week early because he's always late. Yeah, I don't think that's in a professional way Mm-mm. to approach work. But I'll tell you something. Projects for most individual contributors happen outside of them. They have pieces and parts of it, but they're not running it. And so mm-hmm. it's work they have to do. They know they have to do it. And so they're going to do it. And so therefore, they look for a metric. Whether people want to complain about metrics or not, believe me, when it comes to your work, you think about metrics. And that is quality, speed, time, the whole, right? And
yeah.
so what's the metric they got? Deadline. Okay. Yeah. And so they work their schedule around the deadline, and everybody always says they have too much to do. Agreed. That's actually better than the opposite.
Yes.
But I would argue that in the day of that deadline, Tuesday at 2 o'clock, no manager hardly ever says, tell us what you know when you know it. If you know Thursday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon that you will meet that deadline, that knowledge is valuable. It's not just the marketing violator that's valuable. It's the knowledge that you're going to meet the deadline that's valuable.
Yeah.
So now the other side of the coin is, think of it this way. To be fair to developers, because again, I know you got stuff to do. A developer decides to start working on a project in the future that's of interest to her, but had no value for our 2 p.m. Tuesday delivery, right? Think about that. So she knows it'll only take half an hour. So it's the only thing she's got hot right now, so she can work on this other thing, which, by the way, is not budgeted for. She's excited about it. It's cool. It's a fun part of her job, but doesn't have value. And she has no metric other than Tuesday at 2. So why shouldn't she? Mm-hmm. And she could justify it as reasonable. She would say, well, all I know is it's due then. And I know I'll have time to finish it easily by then. And I had 90 minutes right now to work on some pretty crunchy stuff for a great idea I'm getting ready to pitch to the boss. Aren't I in charge of my task and responsibility, you screaming micromanager, you? Again, or do you want to stand over my shoulder and tell me which task to do every minute? How often am I going to get in trouble around here for not being early with my work? Snarky, maybe, for her to say that, but to some degree, it's partially rooted in truth, which, of course, all snark is.
Yeah.
But look, in the second scenario, right, where you say as soon as possible, she'd probably give more credence. Now, I'm assuming that a manager tools manager is managing her. And so there's some trust and some relationship and some communication. She'd probably give more credence to the idea of spending 30 minutes on the violator and the HTML, CSS code, whatever that was, and be satisfied with only 60 minutes on time spent on her future project. Mm-hmm. Now, if she does that 10 times and it appears to her that no project benefits from the advancement because you as the project manager don't communicate, hey, look, by the way, we're ahead of schedule here. So if anybody wants to jump in and do something faster, so on. And by the way, there'll be somebody who's a crank who will say, no, I'm not getting to that till after the deadline. I'm sorry, I've got my work planned too tightly. He's full of it. It's mm-hmm. not so. But he's just wanting to say, he's basically saying, you don't manage me. You know, I have complete independence and freedom because of how great I am, which is, of course, false, but whatever.
It's nice for him.
Yeah.
And it's fun. And as a general rule, you know, the concept of early.
Oh, completely agree with this.
This is misleading, right?
Yeah.
Somebody, let's say, okay, somebody shows up 10 minutes early before the meeting. They check Slack to see if there's anything urgent. They review their notes. They spend a few minutes saying hi as people come into the room, right? Greeting people, kind of. They're considered early.
Oh, they even are said, oh, look at you, early bird. Oh, look, you're early.
Fancy. Maybe even get a little, you know, snark for it.
Like, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Like you're, they're not cool.
You're so cool. Yeah, right. Exactly. Like, oh, cool guy, right?
Yeah.
In fact, this is like, it almost leads to the idea that, oh, just not busy, huh? Nothing to do? Nothing to do? The thing is, if you compare this person to everybody else who rushes in a few minutes late, they're unprepared, they don't have a pen, you know, and okay. So these people, not only are they not doing what they're supposed to be doing, they're making
and then throwing somebody else under the bus.
Right. Snarking him.
Right. Right.
And now the facilitator waits to start the meeting. So I was early because I'm a professional and you were late. You made fun of me. And now I have to wait on you again.
Yeah. And we wonder why projects are over budget and not delivered on time. And here's what's amazing. Everyone else who showed up at the last minute or late was managing their time by the frickin' deadline of the start of the meeting rather than ask themselves, how can I be more productive? Which is move your work forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in terms of deliverables, early is good.
But it's not early. Deadline is not on time. Anytime a task is done, it turns green. If it's done 2 weeks in advance, I've just been leaning back a little bit. I wonder if Paul Fagione is going to say to me, Mark, you can't keep leaning back when you get super excited. Your voice goes away. You're not up against the microphone. But it's not early. It's on time. Okay. And by the way, I'll notice it. If Kate does something early, I'll say, hey, that was good. Can I give you some feedback? When you get stuff done well before the deadline rather than at the last minute, it shows me you're thinking about the project and not just about yourself. Well done. Keep it up.
Early it's good. And it's also, it's always positive, right? It's unalloyed. Yeah. It is good. There's no, I have a question about this. It's like, we need to honor it, appreciate it. It's better always in terms of deliverables.
Yeah. And because when it's early, when you deliver it 24 hours in advance, the chance of that deliverable being late immediately drops to zero.
Zero.
If you deliver an hour beforehand, then 2 hours before, the chance of you being late is not zero.
Yeah.
And this is what risk assessment and mitigation is. It's escalation. I could just go on and on and on. And everybody's going, you are. Don't stop. Stop. Now, look. Yeah. The natural extension of this line of thinking is one of the fundamental principles at the heart of project management, work planning, and so on. A project is always at risk of being delayed by the longest uncompleted task in the project. People don't get this. People think, I don't want to micromanage my people. I'm going to assign them long tasks, long deliverables. Actually, most people who do that, they don't assign deliverables, they assign tasks. That's why a week-long task, folks, puts a project at risk of a week's delay the moment it is able to be worked on. And it's almost like it has a battery bar that is just gradually sliding from left to right, turning from green to amber to red. And 5 minutes before, that thing is saying, you're now a week late on this project. And
there's two of them stacked up.
Yeah. Oh yeah, dude. Yeah. And by the way, you don't get punished for the first one being missed. And so you wait a couple of days before you start the second one. And now you're like 9 days behind. What's more, you know what the risk is. You know that 7 days before, there's 7 days of risk. And then 3 days before, there's actually like 10 days of risk at this point because you haven't started yet. And you know there's a risk to the project, but you're not doing anything about it. And I'll tell you why. I figured this out when I was writing this cast. It's because in that case, you're the one that's going to be in trouble. But in the normal escalation, you're pointing out somebody else is going to be in trouble.
Shame.
And that's where this gets political. Yeah.
Shame.
Yeah. I think I got to tell you though, Kate. I think we probably ought to stop here, just from a timing perspective. I can see where we can get really excited about some of the next topics, but let's stop here. What do you say?
Absolutely.
Good. So, folks, that's it. That's the end of part two. By the way, folks, part of the reason I'm stopping is I'm in my office and the yard guys are here for somebody else's yard, not my yard. I don't have yard guys. The noise is going to get cacophonous here. Just a moment. So that's the end of part two. Folks, thank you for being with us. I'm having a great time. Kate and I don't get to do this very often. This is just really, really fun. It's a topic near and dear to my heart because it's about management behavior and about time and about effectiveness. Thanks, and come back next week because we got part 3. It's a long one. Hope you're enjoying it.